It's a joy to be sharing the Word of God with you today. I've got a verse for you, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, and we'll dive straight in there. But looking back to the last time that I had the pleasure to share the Word here with you, I was talking about tuning into heaven's wavelength. And I suppose that was a bit of an analog example from the old of radio. Well, today I really want to talk to you about prayers live stream. So we're going digital with this message. Prayers live stream. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, we have a pithy little verse, short verse, but punchy. It says, pray without ceasing, or literally according to the Greek language, it swaps it around. Without ceasing, pray. And interesting, if we're honest with ourselves, many of us struggle with prayer. We struggle to pray often. We struggle to pray as the first response to a problem rather than the last resort. Oh, has it come to that? Or do we really need to pray? Is it that desperate rather than praying first? But this verse says, pray without ceasing. And this is so interesting, what this word really means. And I want to unpack it a little bit. What does it mean without ceasing? Does it mean that day and night, you know, whether we're in our sleep or waking, constantly our mouth is moving and we're praying? Well, no. Can you imagine you're eating your breakfast, your oatmeal, and you're continually praying. You're praying without ceasing. Your oatmeal is coming out of your mouth. It would be an ugly sight, wouldn't it? And so, what do we mean? What does Paul mean by this idea of pray without ceasing? You know, this is a word that this adverb occurs four times in Paul's writings in the New Testament. In the New Testament in total, it's only in Paul's writings. We have it once early in the book of Romans, and then we have it three times in this book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1 and verse 3. He talks about remembering them without ceasing. Chapter 2 and verse 13, he talks about giving thanks without ceasing. And I think if we just look at those two examples, we can understand a little more about what this word means, pray without ceasing. You see, if we think that, oh, it's pray without ceasing, you can never pray enough, I've got to keep praying, I've got to be praying all the time, it's almost like running up a down escalator, isn't it? You're constantly in motion, but it doesn't feel like you're getting anywhere. Well, that's not God's design for us in prayer. He wants us to be fulfilled in prayer. He wants us to know that prayer is something wonderful. He himself is the initiator of prayer. And this is something we're going to get into, that prayer begins in God. And really, we're all just joining in the live stream of prayer that heaven is already making available. All we have to do is just join it and carry on, be caught up in the live stream of prayer. So if it doesn't mean without ceasing, literally 24/7, praying, what does it mean? It means regularly. It means without any unnecessary gaps. It means as often as required. Now, in extra biblical writings, the writings that of the contemporary times with the time that Paul wrote in, this word, it's one Greek word, two in the English language, without ceasing, is used to describe somebody with a tickling cough. Have you ever had a tickling cough? Have you ever had one of those coughs that just doesn't seem to go away? It doesn't mean that you're coughing 24/7. It doesn't mean that you cough all day long. It means that you cough and then you pass a little time and then you cough again and then you pass a little longer and then and you cough again. A tickling cough. And I think that's a beautiful illustration for us to understand how prayer without ceasing really it is. Prayer without ceasing is really regular prayer. And in the first part of this message, I really want to encourage us to move beyond rare prayer and move toward regular prayer. That doesn't mean we're praying day and night 24/7, but it means that we are constantly in that flow of prayer. We're constantly accessing heaven's live stream of prayer, and that catches us up into God's presence to walk with Him. You know, hundreds of years ago, there was a saint called Brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence worked in the monastery. He joined the monastery when he was about 50 years of age as a lay member, worked in the kitchen. And we have a beautiful collection of some of his writings and his thoughts called Practicing the Presence of God. And it's hundreds of years old. He died in 1691, I think. So here we are more than 330 years after his death, and people are still enriched by that beautiful book. It's a small book, a simple book, but Brother Lawrence found the secret of regular prayer, of constant prayer, of being aware of God's presence in all circumstances, at all times, when he's cooking, when he's washing the pots in the monastery kitchen. He's aware of God's presence and he's in dialogue with God. He's listening to God and he's talking with God. And that's prayer, not just us delivering a monologue to God about his responsibilities, not just talking at him or even talking to him, but talking with him. That's the joy of prayer. So rare prayer is something God wants to take us away from into regular prayer. But if we're honest, many times we do feel defeated when it comes to prayer. We feel like, oh, I don't pray enough. I know I don't pray enough. I never pray enough. You can't pray enough. But is that really true? Let's think about Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. Jesus is praying in the presence of his disciples. They're watching him. I can just imagine the look on their faces as they watch him pray. They've seen him pray before. Sometimes he would go away to a quiet place and pray by himself, talking with his Father. But in this case, Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says, when he finished praying. Isn't that interesting? He finished praying. Jesus had prayed enough. And if Jesus can pray enough, I can pray enough. I can pray to that place where I'm satisfied. Right, that's it. That doesn't mean I'm not going to pray again for another year. That's my praying done for the year. No, it means that for now, I'm happy. Yes, let's pause it there and let's move on. And we'll continue constantly aware of God's presence. And then we'll kick back in and we'll pray again. We'll join heaven's live stream of prayer once again. We'll check in, we'll check out. If you're understanding the analogy here, this is how God offers us a way of constant, regular prayer. You know, there was a great man of God in Britain called Smith Wigglesworth. He went home to be with the Lord just after the Second World War when he was in his late 80s. A great evangelist, preacher. Some call him an apostle of faith. In some of the biographies I've read of him, they talk about 14 documented resurrections from the dead under his ministry. But in some of the later biographies that have dug into some of the Pentecostal journals of the time, they found an extra 9 that they see documented. At least 23 people raised from the dead in his ministry. And, you know, because of these extraordinary miracles like resurrections and, of course, many healings from all kinds of affliction and disease, Smith Wigglesworth gained a renown as a man of great power. And somebody asked him one day, Brother Smith, we want to know, what is your life of prayer like? How long do you pray for? And behind that question, a loaded question, they were, I'm sure, thinking, a man who's raised so many people from the dead, who's done so many miracles, this is somebody that must pray hours and hours at a time, every day. And his answer shocked them. He said, I never pray more than 10 minutes. And they were stunned. And then he added, but I never go more than 10 minutes without praying. That's praying without ceasing. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:17 right there. That's regular prayer. That's that tickling cough. That's that constant awareness of God's presence, involving God in our everyday lives, in our everyday interactions with other people, constantly looking to the Father. Have you ever lost your keys, run around for 45 minutes wondering where your keys are? And why don't we stop and ask God where the keys are? Why don't we join heaven's live stream of prayer, interact with heaven and the one who knows everything? He will show us. And so regular prayer is available to us. Another verse that shows us constant prayer or regular prayer, if we want to say pray without ceasing, praying without ceasing, is Ephesians 6:18, a famous verse at the end of Paul's great letter to the Ephesians, verse 10. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When we get to verse 18, he says, praying at all times with all kinds of prayer. And at all times is literally in the Greek, in every moment. Praying in every moment with all kinds of prayer. And then he says, in the Spirit. And now I'd like to go on really to the next thing I want to look at in this whole understanding of praying without ceasing. We're never going to be able to pray without ceasing if we're praying only from our head. We have to go not only from rare to regular prayer, but we need to go from prayer that comes out of our heart and not just out of our head. And Paul says in Ephesians 6:18 something so strong here. He says, praying at all times, in every moment, in every kairos, he says, in every opportunity, in every instant, with all kinds of prayer, all manner of prayer, in the Spirit. In the Spirit. And watching thereunto. Prayer in the Spirit. And this is the key to joining heaven's live stream. We struggle to join it with our head. Our head is too limited. And that's why we have the Holy Spirit living within our spirits, who makes us able to join that live stream, who helps us to tune into heaven, tune into the bandwidth of heaven, and to join in with what's flowing from God's throne. When we understand that prayer begins in God and not in us, oh boy, that takes a whole load of weight off our shoulders. That prayer is not something that we're trying to, you know, wind up and trying to constantly, you know, make something happen. But prayer is our response to what is already coming from God's throne. His presence, his life, his interaction. In the last message that I shared about tuning into heaven's wavelength, I talked about how heaven is always broadcasting. God is a talker. In the beginning, God said, and he's been talking ever since. And so heaven is broadcasting, heaven is talking. If we can go back to that image of the radio station and the wavelength, but let's upgrade it into the digital age with a live stream. There's a live stream of prayer, and the Lord is making available to us the opportunity to access that live stream and enjoy his presence. But we struggle to do it with our heads. Our heads are limited. We need to pray from our hearts. We need to pray in the Spirit. And in the Spirit, I want to say, it's not just praying in other tongues, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 4, when they were all gathered in one place, in one accord, there came the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and they were all filled with the Spirit and spoke in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance or vocal expression. He gave them vocal expression in tongues that they'd never learned, and this amazed the people on the day of Pentecost. But praying all kinds of prayer in the Spirit, can you imagine, to pray the prayer of agreement that Jesus talks about in Matthew's Gospel, if two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything that they ask. Now, you can't agree praying in tongues. You need to pray in a known language, otherwise the other person won't be able to agree with you. But what do we mean by prayer in the Spirit? Obviously, it's not just praying in tongues. Praying in other tongues is one way that we pray in the Spirit. It's one way that we can join heaven's live stream, yes. But I want us to see that praying in the Spirit is praying really from the Spirit, praying from that place of us seating in Christ at the right hand of the Father. In Christ, we are seated together with Him in heavenly places. And we pray from that place. We pray from that exalted place that Jesus made available to us. Thank God, through His death, through His burial. Or with His death, the veil was rent in the temple, opening up the way into the Holy of Holies. And Jesus has given us access to heaven's live stream. Are we taking advantage of it regularly? How can we do it? From our hearts. From our hearts. You know, I'd love to just share with you a couple of quotations from Martin Luther. The great Martin Luther said some things about prayer. And he contrasts the head and the heart in prayer in this way. He says, "Grant that I may not pray alone with my mouth." Now, where's your mouth? It's in your head. He means praying alone with my head. "Help me that I may pray from the depths of my heart." Oh Lord, that You would help us to pray from the depths of our heart. I like something that a gentleman called Mark Marks, the founder of Healing on the Streets, a great ministry that has touched many people around the world. They go into public places with the permission of local authorities, set up chairs in public places, in shopping precincts, in plazas, wherever, and offer people the opportunity to receive prayer for healing and miracles. And I love in his training, Mark Marks talks about when it comes time to pray for somebody, pray your best prayer. When I first read that, I thought, that's an interesting way to put it. Pray your best prayer. And you know, shouldn't we pray our best prayer all the time, whether we're in church or whether at home, whether we're with other people, whether we're on our own? Shouldn't we pray our best prayer? What is our best prayer? It's a prayer that comes out of our heart, not just out of our head. It's a prayer that's not made on autopilot, on automatic. It's not just going through the motions. It's a prayer that we bring up from the core of our being that expresses the life of God that's in us, the heart of God that is in us. It's a prayer of faith and joy and peace. It's a glorious kind of prayer. It's a great way to pray. It's praying from our heart. Here's another one from Martin Luther. "Prayer is climbing up into the heart of God." Oh, I like that. Prayer is climbing up into the heart of God. Praying from His heart. Praying from that place, from His lap, from His Father heart, hearing His heartbeat as we put our heads, like the disciple at the Last Supper, against the chest of Jesus, hearing His heartbeat and praying His heartbeat, praying His heart. You know, there are some verses in Proverbs chapter 3, famous verses, perhaps you're familiar with them, beginning in verse 5. And recently I thought to myself, you know, that applies to prayer. I hadn't really applied it to prayer before, but he says here, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding." Isn't that interesting? He's saying the same thing that I've been saying, that Martin Luther was saying here to us. He's saying, pray from your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And trusting is part of prayer. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Don't put your weight on your understanding that my prayer has to come totally out of my understanding. Somebody asks you to pray for somebody that you don't know, who's in a critical situation. They're in the emergency unit in the hospital, hanging in the balance between life and death. You don't know the person. How are you going to pray? Can you pray from your head? Well, you could rustle up some scriptures, and all of that is very good, yes. But why don't we look to our heart and say, Lord, what is your prayer in this moment? Join heaven's live stream and say, Lord, what's the word for this moment? And so many times in those situations, the Holy Spirit will give us exactly that scripture, the right scripture to pray in that moment, the right word to return to Him in prayer, to offer it back up to up to him. And that's really all prayer is that we are joining this divine live stream, that what pours out of heaven through his word enters into us, and through prayer we offer it back to him in heaven, and he responds in the earth with answers, with all his goodness and all his blessing. And so he says here, the wise one says here, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your understanding. You know, I'm recording this in the city of Oxford, a city, Cranium Central, a place that has more people with mental problems than anywhere else I think I've ever been in the world. Why? Because so many people spend their lives depending on their heads in this city, living from their heads. And man was never designed to live only from his head. He was designed by God to live from his heart, from the core of his being. And so let us pray from there. He goes on to say, in all your ways acknowledge him. Verse 6, Proverbs 3. And he shall direct your paths. That's true in prayer as well. Sometimes we charge into prayer. You know, I know what to pray. Do we know what to pray? My wife has been preaching some messages on prayer over the last year or 18 months that have been really revelatory for me. And she's been preaching something from Romans 8:26 that I must admit I had not seen it. You know, in Romans 8:26, we often think that Paul is saying, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for when we don't know what to pray as we ought, then the Holy Spirit himself, he makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. But that's not what the Bible says. That's not what Greek says. That's not what Paul says. He says, we don't know what to pray. It's an assertion. It's a declaration. For we don't know what to pray. That's our weakness. That's why we need the help of the Holy Spirit. In our heads, we're limited. We need his help. And when we acknowledge him in all our ways and say, Lord, I haven't the foggiest clue where I begin to pray about this, but you know, acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your path. He will show you how to pray. And then notice, flipping back immediately to Proverbs 3 verse 7, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know, in this context, fear the Lord means don't pray in your own strength. Don't pray just out of your head. Don't just pray out of your own intellect. Don't be self-sufficient. Involve God in your prayers. And how many of us have sat in prayer meetings where somebody has rambled on this long-winded and flowery prayer for minutes on end, and it seems like it's more for their benefit than for God's benefit, or perhaps for our benefit than God's benefit. So let's pray from our heart. Let's pray in the Spirit, from that place in the Spirit that Jesus has made available to us. And then finally, I want us to think, we've gone from rare prayer to regular prayer, and really we're only going to be able to pray regularly if we pray from our heart rather than just from our head. But finally, as we close here, I want to talk about moving in our prayer life, not just from rare to regular, not just from our praying out of our head to praying from our heart, but from duty to delight. And this is something the Lord dealt with me in early 2017. I'm not saying that this is a phrase that is original with me. It was new to me, but I found out later that he'd said the same thing to other people. Perhaps somehow I'd subconsciously picked it up from other people. But the Lord said to me one day in early 2017, I want to take my people from the duty of prayer to the delight of prayer. And you know, for many people, prayer is a duty. It's a chore. Or worse than that, it's a bore. But you know, prayer is something more, much, much more than a chore or a bore. Prayer is a delight. You know, Jesus quoted Isaiah chapter 56, famous verse, verse 7, which talks about how the prophet speaking the word of the Lord, the Lord says, I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. He didn't say, I will make them look like they've been sucking on lemons for a week. I will make them look like they've been gargling with vinegar for a year. That is not what they what Isaiah chapter 56 verse 7 says. It says there's joy in the house of prayer. And isn't there joy in prayer? Have you found joy in prayer? If not, I want to encourage you today to get into prayer's live stream. You'll find joy there. You'll find his live stream will carry you on and carry you up. The psalmist says in Psalm 34 and verse 3, he says, they looked unto him and their faces were light or radiant with joy. When we look to him, when we look to him in prayer, rather than just look to ourselves and our own resources, what happens? We go beyond duty. We go beyond the discipline of prayer and we get caught up in the joy of prayer. Just to finish up here with the context, you know, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 is the meat in the sandwich. Verses 16 and 18 are the bread and the sandwich. And the sandwich is a simple triptych that Paul gives in these exhortations. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. Notice that there's joy in verse 16, there's thanksgiving in verse 18, and prayer in the middle. That should give us a hint as to what kind of prayer. Joyful prayer, thankful prayer, a thankful heart lifted up to God. That should give us an idea of what kind of prayer God has for us. He doesn't want us in the drudgery of prayer. Oh, we've got to pray. We've got to pray. We've got to spend time with the Lord of the universe, the one who knows everything, who can do everything, the all-powerful one. What kind of a chore, what kind of a bore is that? It's not. It's endlessly wonderful because he is. So let us join heaven's life stream of prayer. God's life stream of prayer is available to us. Let's join it now.
The Bible's an awesome book, and it has an awesome climax in the book of Revelation. And it describes the power and glory of Jesus Christ. And yet many people are puzzled by the book. They find it hard. Let me recommend to you my new book, a commentary on the book of Revelation. It will take you verse by verse through the book and show you the exact timing of events. You can even get it in the A4 version, that's the coffee table version. And also, we have available 15 hours of my teaching on DVD, teaching with full illustrations all the way through the book of Revelation. Let me recommend you get excited through this revelation of Jesus.
Thank you for watching. Join with us at Oxford Bible Church every Sunday at 11 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time for our live stream service. Or join us at Cheney School, Headington, Oxford, 0X37QH. You can watch more of our teachings on our Roku channel and Derek Walker's YouTube channel. All Derek Walker's books are available in printed and Kindle versions in all Amazons worldwide or online with other great products, where you can also support our programmes at www.oxfordbiblechurch.co.uk or by calling 01865 515 086.